Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf, which is Psachim Tzadik Ches. We are at the Mishnah, Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, towards the bottom. It says the Mishnah, HaMafrish Nekeva L'Pischoi. We know that a Karban Pesach is meant to be, number one, Zohar, number two, within a year of its birth. Say, a person decides to be Mafrish in a Nekeva for his Karban Pesach. Oy Zohar ben Shtei Shonim, or it's a Zohar, but it's actually too old. It's within its second year of birth. In both these cases, it's not roy to be used as a Karban Pesach. What do? Yire achi istoiv. You let it wander until it gets a mum, v'yimachar, and have it sold, v'yipul damav l'nadav l'shlamim, and use the money to purchase a shlamim. Why can't you simply use this carbon, this animal, for shlamim? We know that generally something which is left over from a Karban Pesach, moiser ha-pesach, is karv shlamim. Why do you have to look for the money? Why can't you actually use the animal itself? Explains Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Masnisin oy zochar ben shtei shonim de'ein roi lepesach yira achi istoiv v'yom v'ibedamav shlomim. Why? De'kavatei hafrasha. Because when he was mafreshit for Karban Pesach, it's become committed. It commits it to the cause to be used as a Karban Pesach. Now, although from the initiation of the Hegdash, you know it's not roy, it's pushed away, it's unsuitable for Pesach, it's in a keva, it's too old. It's as though you have something which was meant to be used for a Pesach, let's say, and it was rejected, was pushed away. What happens then? She'ein hu'atz mikorev shlomim eladamav. In which case, you can no longer use this behemoth directly as a carbon. You have to take it, exchange it for its value, for its money, and take that directed for shlamim use. So that's the law of the Mishnah. If you use ma for something which already at the initiation of the Hegdish was unsuitable to be used for its designation, for its Pesach designation, it's considered dochoy, it's considered to be something rejected, and although generally moisar pesach is karev shlamim, in this case you can no longer use this animal as a shlamim, rather sell it, take its value, take the money, and purchase with it a shlamim. Continues the Mishnah. Hamafresh pischoy meis, if one was mafresh a karev pesach, and he passes away. His son cannot bring it for his own Karban Pesach. Rather, he must use it as a shlamim. Explains Rashi up on top. The Gemara soon will explain at which point did the father pass away. In any case, the Mishnah says his son who follows him can no longer use it as a Pesach. Why? The Havali Pesach Shemesa Balav. We have a Pesach without an owner. An ownerless Pesach. Ve'en kamenuin. There are no members for this Karban Pesach. We have no group, we have no owner. Just as a Chatos without an owner is worthless, a Pesach is directly related to its owner. A Pesach without an owner can no longer be used as a Pesach. Rather, it can be used as a Shlam. Continues the Gemara. On the second line, Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishua. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. He was Mafresh and a Keva. He was Mafresh a Zohar, who was too old. In both these cases, as Rashi explained, we have a Dichoy issue. It's been rejected. And therefore, you can no longer use that very animal for a Karban. Rather, you have to exchange it for money. And that money will be used to purchase a Shlamim. Says Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishua, Shma Minatlas. We can conclude three things from this halacha. Number one, Shema Mino, Bali Chayim Midochen. Even an animal can become rejected, as opposed to Reb Shimon holds that there's no such thing as Dichay by an animal. Just as an animal that gets a mum, a temporary mum, and then the mum passes, then animal becomes re-suitable for carbon. Therefore, Reb Shimon says any behema, any Bal Chay that seems to have been rejected, there's no such thing as being rejected by a Bal Chay. He's above that. Our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. Our Mishnah tells us that even a Bal Chai can become rejected. That's number one. Ushma mino dichoi miikara. Havi dichoi. Don't think that only in a case where you have something which was roi for carbon, and then something happened, some event occurred, which pushed it aside. That's considered a rejection. Look, he was slated for hakrava, and then he got pushed aside. That's called rejection. But suppose something was never roi, never slated for hakrava, was never destined for hakrava, such as now a Mishnah. He took an akeva and designated it as a Pesach. We know it's not going to be used as Pesach. Perhaps the concept of rejection doesn't apply. Rejection perhaps only applies when something was in the realm, was up for consideration, and then rejected. But in our case, where initially it was not roi, perhaps dichoy doesn't apply. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, yeah. Dichoy meikara, even an initial dichoy, even a dichoy which took place from the get-go, from the beginning. That's also considered a dichoy. Ushma mino yesh dichoy bedamim. Another chiddush we learn from our Mishnah is that the concept of dichoy doesn't just apply in the case where you had a behema which was meant to fulfill its designation, meant to be used as designated. But in our case, in our Mishnah, it was mavash in a keva for Pesach. And a keva cannot be used for Pesach. At most, it can be diverted for shlam. That's what the Gemara means, bedam, yesh dichoy bedam. Dam means for its value. It couldn't have been actually used for its stated purpose, for Pesach use. Rather, it had to be diverted. Its value, so to speak, had to be diverted for shlamim. Even in that case, we see from our Mishnah, the concept of dichoy applies. Don't think it only applies when you have something of high value, a carbon which is meant to be used as designated. Legufoy, a Pesach for Pesach, shlamim for shlamim. But that gets rejected, perhaps that's called dichoy. But in a case where it was never meant to be used as designated, at most it would have been diverted for shlamim, perhaps dichoy doesn't apply there. If it can't be used for Pesach, use it for shlamim. The fact that you can't use it for Pesach makes it rejected? It was never meant for Pesach. Chiddush is no, even in this case, since he was mafreshed for Pesach and it cannot be used for Pesach, that's considered a rejection. And therefore the Mishnah says, the behema is no longer roi to be used on its own, rather it must be sold, exchanged for money, the money used for shlamim. Hamafresh pischoy v'chulu tan rabban. We have a braisa which elaborates on the second part of our Mishnah. Hamafresh is pischoy meis. If one was mafresh his carbon pesach, then passes away. Says the braisa, im b'noi memuna imay. If he has a son who happened to join him in the pesach membership, he was part of the group, yivienu l'shem pesach. Then that son can actually follow through, bring this animal as his Pesach, because he's a member of this Pesach. What if his son was not a member together with the father on this carbon Pesach? Then he can no longer bring it as a Pesach, because this Pesach has no owner. Rather, it can be used as a shlamim l'shisha aser, on the 16th day of Nisan. First day Chol HaMoed, you can't bring it on Yom Tov. L'yudvav in, you can only bring it on the 16th. L'tesvav loy, but on the 15th, which happens to be Yom Tov, kosavar, because this braisa holds, nedarim u'nedavos ein kreven b'Yom Tov. Something which is not a obligatory carbon, it's a neder, a nedava like a shlomim, that can't be brought on Yom Tov. So that's the end of the braisa, which the Gemara will elaborate on. What exactly the braisa mean? If a son was a member, he can bring it as a Pesach. If he was a non-member, bring it as a shlomim. When did the father pass away? The mis hav emas. When did the father die? Ilema the mis koed mechatzois. If we're speaking that he passed away before chatzois, erev Pesach. How does the braisa say that b'noi mimuni imoi yivien elushim Pesach? If his son is a member, he can use it as a Pesach. How can that happen? Hachala aninus ilovei mikara. If his father died before chatzois, come chatzois, the son was already in a state of aninus. Now we learned earlier in the Masechta, you can include an oinen as a member of a group bringing the Karim Pesach, but you cannot bring a Pesach solely for the oinen. He can't be the sole owner or concerned that he might get preoccupied with the mace, doing the kvur, he might become tamei, in which case the Pesach will be left without an owner and become pasul. In our case, that the father passed away before Chatzos. When Chatzos arrives, Chatzos is the Hascholas Zman Shchitas Pesach. When Chatzos arrives, and the Zman Chiv of Pesach arrives, this fellow is already in a state of aninus. You can't bring a Karm Pesach solely for him. You can't do that. If he's the sole owner, he can't bring this Pesach. The state of aninus was already chal, already landed, and was already applied to him before the initiation of the Zman Shchita. He enters the Chatzois realm, the Zman Shchita realm, and he's already an oine. Elodemis acha Chatzois. Apparently, the father passed away after Chatzois. Okay, so since Chatzois arrived prior to the aninus status, explains Rashi, since he's focused on the chiv of Karban Pesach, even should he become an oinen later on, that won't interfere, because in his focus, in his current state of mind, he's going to be mindful that he has to keep tar, because he already knows he's in the process of bringing the Karban Pesach. So since Chatzos arrives prior, it preceded the aninus, if he's a member of this Karban, he can bring it as his own Pesach. The Braisa continued, Ein b'noi memuna imay. Let's analyze the second part of the Braisa. If the son is a non-member, you can't bring it as a Pesach. It's not your Pesach. It's his father's Pesach. Rather, you can use it as a shlomim. How could that work? Hakavati chatzois. This animal has been rejected from his beyach use. Why? Because we're speaking that the father passed away after chatzois, right? Has to be speaking in such a case. So at the point of chatzois, which is the commencement of Zman Shchita, that's when the time of Shchita begins. This korban was slated for Pesach use, right? The father was still around. It was committed for Pesach use. Now the father passes away. That creates a dichoy, a rejection on this animal. It was meant for Pesach, now it can't be used for Pesach. That's considered a dichoy. What happens by a korban which was nitche, we just learned in the Mishnah, you have to exchange it for money, use that money for a shlomim. How could the Braisa say that the son can use it as a shlomim? The Gemara will give us five approaches to understand this Braisa. Amar Rabba, lo'ilam demis kredim chatzois. So you seem to have a contradiction within the Braisa. We seem to have some difficulty reconciling both halachas. How could it be that we have a situation where the son will bring it as a Pesach if he's a member, and as a Shlomim if he's not a member? It won't work. Both halachas don't work with each other. That was the Kasha. Amar Rabba, lo'ilam demis kredim chatzois. Let's go back to the Pashat Pshat. We're speaking that the son, that the father died before chatzois. If that's the case, we understand the Shlomim halacha. The second halacha of the Braisa, the son is a non-member, he can bring it as a Shlomim. You know why? Because since the father passed away before chatzois, he preceded Chatzos, which is Zman Shchita, which means that this animal never arrived at the Zman Shchita designated for Pesach use, because the father already passed away before Chatzos. So it was never committed to the cause of Pesach. It never experienced even a part of the Zman Shchita. Because come Chatzos, this animal was already not ready for Pesach. He had no owner. So there's no dichay, there's no rejection here. Therefore, it can be used as a shlomim. So we understand that halacha. We still don't understand how the son can bring it as a Pesach if he's a member. Because if he passed away before Chatzos, he was already an oinin. The aninus preceded the Zman Shchita. You can't bring a Pesach solely for an oinin. If the owner, the sole owner is an oinin. Says Rabba, we're speaking, the father passed away before Chatzos. Umayivi enu l'shem Pesach. But what does the Braisa mean? That he can bring it as a Pesach l'shum Pesach sheni? Of course, he cannot bring it for Pesach rishon, because he's an oinin. Rather, we'll save it for Pesach sheni. That's Rabbi's approach. Abaye Omar, let's start in Tani. The truth is that this Braisa reflects two different cases. It's presenting two different scenarios. Meis acha chatzois. The first part of Brisa is speaking that the father passed away after Chatzos. Benoy memune imay. If the son is a member, yivienu l'shem Pesach. He can bring it as a Pesach, because if he passed away only after Chatzos, this man shechita precedes the aninus. In which case he's careful, he's mindful of the fact that he's about to bring a carbon. He won't become tameh even if he's the sole owner. He can have his own Pesach. That's the first part of the Brisa. The father was made after Chatzos. The Brisa continues, Meis koidem chatzois. But if the father passed away before chatzois, ein bnei memune imoy, yivi enu l'shem shlamim. In this case, if the son is a non-member, you can't bring it as a Pesach, but rather you can bring it as a shlamim. And there's no rejection here, because the Misa preceded chatzois. This animal was never slated for Pesach use, because by the time chatzois arrived, he had no owner. And that's what the Brisa means. In this case, the son can bring it as a shlam. So according to Abayi, this Brisa really contains two different halachas, two different cases. In the first, the father passed away after Chatzos. The son was already chayv in Karban Pesach prior to the aninus situation arising. Therefore, if he's a member of this Karban, he can bring it as a Pesach. In the second case of the Brisa, the Misa was before Chatzos. This animal was never really roi for Pesach, because come Chatzos, he had no owner. Therefore, the son is a non-member, he can bring it to Shlomo. Rav Shravya Amar, wa'ilmu de mis l'acha Chatzos. We're speaking that the father was made after Chatzos. Therefore, the Brisa says, if the son is a member on this carbon, he can use it as his Pesach, because Chatzos preceded the Aninas, as we explained earlier, he'll be mindful to remain Betar. What about the other halacha of the Brisa? The son is not a member of this Karban Pesach, he can use it as a shlamim. What happened to Dichui? If the father only passed away after Chatzos, doesn't that mean that the Karban was already committed, was already designated for Pesach use? At the point of Chatzos onward, he already had that designation. And now that the father passed away, that should create a rejection of Dichui. Says Rav Shravya was speaking, Ukegoin Shahoya Aviv Goises Bachatzos. The father was already in a Goises state, close to dying. And as Rashi explains, Roiv people in this situation are going to be mace. Roiv Goises in Lamis. Therefore, this Pesach, this carbon here, was never meant, was never destined for Akrova. We know it wasn't going to happen. Chances are the owner was going to pass away. So therefore, even if it happened after Chatzos, and technically during the point of Chatzos' arrival, this Pesach still had an owner and was sort of designated for Pesach use, but it wasn't. It wasn't meant for Pesach because the owner was a Goises, about to depart, leaving this Pesach without an owner. Therefore, it can be used as a shlam, because there was no rejection that was applied here. So again, according to Rav Shravya, speaking, the Misa took place after Chatzos. If the son is a member of this on this carbon, then he can use it as a Pesach. Otherwise, he can use it as a Shlam, and there was no Dichah, because we're speaking that the father was a Goises. Rav Ashi Amar, Lo Ilam Demis Lacha Chatzos. The Misa took place after Chatzos. Therefore, if the Ben was Mimuna on Olav, brings it as a Pesach. Otherwise, he will bring it as a Shlam. What happened to Dichah? Rav Shimoni, the Amar, Ein balin chayim nidochem. Following Reb Shimon holds that there's no concept of dicha by abal chayim, as we mentioned earlier, brings a raya from mum. If it gets a mum, it's temporarily unsuitable, but after the mum leaves, it goes back to its former status and its royal akrova. If Reb Shimon says, all balin chayim have a resilience, and they don't become rejected. Therefore, if the son is not a member, he can bring it as a shlomim. Ravina Omar, going shefrish achar tzoyis, we're speaking about a case where the Hafrasha also took place after Chatzos. So you designated the Karban after Chatzos, with the father that is, and then the father passed away. Because Sovar Chatzos Kava, this Brisa follows the Shita that it's the point of Chatzos, the initiation of these Zman Shechita, which determines matters here. Since in this case, was this Pesach here during Chatzos? Absolutely not. The Afrosh only took place after Chatzos. Now I understand the Braisa. If the Ben is Memuna Olav, he can use it as a Pesach. Why not? If he's not Memuna Olav, if he's not a member of this carbon, use it as a Shlom. What happened to rejection? What happened to Dichoy? There was no Dichoy, says Ravina. Because at the point of Chatzos, this behemoth was not yet even designated for Pesach use. The Afrosh only took place after Chatzos. And since he missed the kickoff period of the Zman Shechita, he's lacking that true commitment, so to speak, to the cause. To the point that even if he becomes unsuitable at a later point during this day, such as when the father, the owner, dies, it's not considered a rejection because he wasn't fully committed to be rejected. The rejection is in proportion to your commitment and to your availability. In this case, since he wasn't available at the beginning of his manshchita, it's not really considered a full commitment. And therefore, if at a later point it becomes unavailable, not roif akrova, that doesn't create a dichoy, and therefore the Braisa says it can be used, even the animal itself can be used as a shlamet. So in summary, we had a Mishnah. If someone is mafresh, a behemoth which was not roif for the Pesach, an akeva, or too old, says the Mishnah, a dichoy takes place, and only the money received in exchange for this carbon can be used for a shlamim. Rav Huna Beit Yeshua tells us, we conclude three things from this Mishnah. Number one, even a Baal Chai can have dichoy. Even a dichoy mi'ikara is considered a dichoy. And even dichoy b'domim is a dichoy, something which was never meant to be used as is. That animal also, that hegdish applied to that animal can create a dichoy. We proceeded with the Braisa, which elaborated on the second part of the Mishnah. If somebody was mafresh as Pesach and passes away, says the Braisa, if his son was Memuna, was counted into this Pesach, then he can bring it as a Pesach. If you're not counted in, he can bring it as a Shlam. We had some difficulty understanding this Braisa. What are you speaking about? When did the father die? Before, after Chatzos, we had five Pshat. According to Rabbah, the father was mazed before Chatzos. In that case, the Aninus arrives before the Zman Shechita. How can you bring the Pesach for the sake of an owner who's an Aine? So Rabbi was speaking about Pesach Sheni. Abai explained like this. The Braisa here is discussing two separate cases. If the father died Koidim Chatzos, and the son is a non-member, then he could bring it as a Shlam. Why? Because there was no Dichoy that took place. Since Kam Chatzos, it wasn't even right, he had no owner. But if the father died after Chatzos, in which case the Zman Pesach arrived prior to Zman Aninus, then if the son happens to be a member, he can use it as his Pesach. We're not concerned about the fact that the sole owner of this carbon is an Aninus, because he'll be careful and prevent from becoming Tummy, because he knows he's on the way to be Makav his Pesach. If Shravi learns, speaking of the father died after Chatzos, and therefore, if the son is a member, can bring it as his Pesach. Because again, we're speaking that Chatzos arrived before the Aninus, in which case he's mindful of the fact that he's about to bring a carbon, be careful from becoming Tami. If the son is not a member, Braisa tells us, he uses it as a Shlom. What happened to Dichui? Why don't we say that it was rejected from Hakrova, since the Misa only took place after Chatzos? And at the point of Chatzos, this animal was really destined for Pesach. Now that it's become undesignated, that should create a rejection. We're speaking the father was a goyis during Chatzos, in which case we knew full and well, chances are this thing was not even meant to be used at the Pesach, and therefore there's no dich. Ramashi learns, we're speaking that the father was made after Chatzos. Therefore, if the son is a member, he can use it as his Pesach, because the chi of Pesach arrived before the Aniyas, as explained earlier. If the son is not a member, he uses it as a shlam. Why wasn't it rejected at the point of Chatzos? Since at the point of Chatzos it was roi for Pesach, it should be rejected later on. Not at Chatzos, it's rejected later on when the father dies. The answer is, we're following Rav Shimon holds that Abachai has no rejection, there's no dicha b'al Abachai. Finally, Ravina learns, we're speaking about a case where the Afrasha even took place after Chatzos and the Misa after Chatzos. Therefore, the son is Mamuna, he's a member, can bring it as a Pesach. Because the Chiv arrived before the Aninus. The Chiv Pesach preceded the Aninus. If the son is not a member, can bring it as a Shlomim. Why was there no Dichoy here? The answer is because Chatzos determines. Chatzos is the criterion for Dichoy. If this behemoth was never designated at the point of Chatzos to be used as a Pesach, it wasn't around at the point of the Haschola of the Zman Shechita, in that case, it's not really fully committed to the cause, and even if it becomes unsuitable at a later point, no dichoy is applied. Continues the Mishnah. HaPesach shenis'arav bezvach. Suppose we have a carbon Pesach that got mixed in with other carbonis. You have a Pesach with an oila, with an asham, that got mixed all together. You don't know who's who. Now, one of them was worth more than the others. One of them was worth a sela, the other one's half a sela. What do we do? Kulan yiru achistov. All three animals are left to wander till they get a mum. V'machru, and then they're sold. V'yavi bidmei hayafa shebehen. Now you have to go ahead, get three sela coins, because you don't know which one was the behemoth of higher value. So in order to cover for all possibilities, you have to go ahead and bring three sela coins. V'yavi, v'dmei hayafa shebehen. Dmei hayafa shebehen means the amount of money which is equal to the highest value behemoth of highest worth. You take that money and purchase with it. V'yavi means you purchase with that high amount. You use it to purchase an animal for the sake of an asham. And you do the same with the oila, the same with the chatas. So basically, he's going to lose money. Because only one of these three are really worth a sela. The other ones are worth only half. But since he doesn't know which one is a sela, you have to cover all bases, make sure that you're fully covered. And therefore you take three sela coins. So the first one you say, well, if wherever the Pesach is, I want it to become transferred on the sela. You take this coin and you purchase a high value animal for the sake of Pesach. You take this next coin, you say, wherever the oila is, I want to be paid it on this coin. And you purchase an animal for the sake of oila. Do the same with the asham. This way you know you're all covered. This fellow will lose the leftover. Any extra that he has to lay out, it's his loss. So that's the first case in the Mishnah. Suppose the Pesach got mixed into a Bechor. What's unique about a Bechor? Rashi explains that the Hakrova of Pesach and Bechor are identical. They both have the same type of Matan Dom on the Mizbeach, etc. So what do you do now? So now in a way it's easier. Reb Shimon Omer, very simple. Im chaburus kahanim yachelu. If the Pesach was owned by a group of kehanim, a bechor can only be eaten by kehanim. So if the group owning this Pesach was made of kehanim, then there's no problem. Let them eat both animals. Treat them both as a Pesach and have them both Pesach at night. It's a simple solution. Says the Gemara, but there is a problem. Why? Because Pesach has a very limited Zman Achila. Only that first night. Reb Chur can be eaten for 2 days at a night. He's going to bring Kochim, he's going to bring the Bechur to Beis Apsul to become possible and have it burnt prematurely, because it's a good chance that some of the Bechur meat will be left over past tonight. But since he doesn't know which one's the Pesach, which one's the Bechor, he's going to have to burn it. So how can you follow this route? Rather, what he should have done is, perhaps, he should have had them both obtain, get a mum, let them wander, and acquire a mum. Sell them both off, like we said in the ratio of the Mishnah. Convert it to money, and take the money. This way, the Bechor will have its own time, its own Zman Achila, the Pesach, its own. In this case, when he's treating them both as a Pesach, he's really shortening the This is manachilav a pachur, and he can bring it to premature psul and sreif. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon tamei. Rav Shimon holds in line with his shita that this is the preferred route. The amar mevin kashim es psul. We prefer doing this, actually eating it, rather than having get a mum and selling it off, I mean, paid it. This is better. Fulfill the designation of the actual carbon. It's meant to be eaten. Eat the carbon, even if it means eating it in less, in a shorter time span, and perhaps bring it the psul. That method is superior to having it get a mum and selling it off, in which case you're not really fulfilling the designation of this carbon. Therefore, Shimon prefers this route. Treat them both as a Pesach. Speaking that a Pesach, I'm mixing with a Pachar. Treat them both as a Pesach with respect to the Zman Achil. This way, you're Makayim, the Akrov and the Achil of the Pachar, rather than having get a mum and selling it off. This not. What do we find of Shimon Shita? Osham Shinis Arab Shlom. What do you do then? Osham and Shlom got mixed up. Reb Shimon Omer, he shachtu b'tzafen. Treat them both l'chumra. Do the shechita and the tzafen of the azara like an asham. Ashlam doesn't need, but treat them both like an asham. V'yachlu k'chayim shebehen, and they must be eaten l'chumra. You have to follow the halachis, the chumra halachis of the asham. For instance, both animals can only be eaten by kehanim. Both karbanis can only be eaten until yom v'layla, as opposed to a shlam, in which technically can be eaten longer. You have to eat them both in the Azor. You have to treat them both as a Safek Shlom. Amr Eloi, the Chacham disagreed. Ein Mavin Kashim Beis Apsol. No. What you're doing, in effect, is being a Mait, the Zman Achil of the Shlom, which could bring it to premature Apsol and Sreifa. So according to the Rabbanon, you go ahead and you let it roam till it gets a mum, sell them both off, repurchase the Asham, repurchase the Shlomim. This allows the Shlomim to have its own lengthy Zman Achil. But in any case, we see the Kodesh Shimon. It's better to be Makayim the mitzvah of this carbon. Eat it, even if it means eating it within a short time span, which can bring it to psul and premature noise. Says the Rabbanon Hechei Avdinan. Let's go back to the Mishnah, where a Pesach got mixed up with a Bechor. So Rabbanon disagreed with Rav Shimon's method. What do they hold? What are we going to do? See, generally, for instance, in the first case of the Mishnah, where Pesach got mixed in with a Asham and Oil. So you have a simple solution. Let it get a mum and sell it. But here we have a problem, explains Rashi, because a B'chor cannot be redeemed. A Pesach can, but a B'chor can't. We learn from Sukkim, there's no pidyon by B'chor. So what are you going to do here? Let's wait until the Pesach and B'chor get a mum. V'yavi behema shmeina. Then I'll go ahead and bring some money, a large amount of money, which equals the value of the animal of higher value amongst the two, right? You have to make sure that you're offering the right amount of money. So you have a Pesach and a Bechor mixed together. You take a look at both of them, whichever one is worth more. You have to bring that value, that amount of money, and use it to purchase a behemah shmeina, a high quality animal. But Leiman will say like this, while he's holding the money, he'll say, Kol heicha de'isa lepesach, tochol alei dehai. The Pesach has pidyon. The Pesach now has a mum. Speaking that the Pesach and the Pachor both had a mum. The Kedusha of Pesach will be transferred on this bundle of money. Then he takes that money, uses it to buy another Pesach, because the Pesach has pidyon. So that's how he addresses the Pesach. But as we mentioned, the Bechor doesn't have pidyon. He has to leave it as is. And now he will eat both of those animals, both of those karbanos. One of them is really a chulin. Its kedusha has been transferred onto the money. One of them is chulin, one of them is a Bechor Balmum. We just don't know which one's which. So he treats them both as a Bechor Balmum. Treats it with respect. You don't sell out in the marketplace, as Rashi explains. And this will be the Rabbanon's approach to solve this quandary. So in conclusion, we had two parts to the Mishnah. In the Reisha, the Pesach got mixed in with an Asham, with an Oila. What do we do? We allow them to get a mum. We bring some money. Of course, it has to be money which equals the value of the higher value animal. He has to bring three times that amount of money. And he stipulates as follows. Wherever the Pesach is, Kedusha goes on this money. The Asham on this money. The Oil on this money. And he repurchases those Kabbalahs. In a case where you have a Pesach mixed in with a Bchar, says Rav Shimon, if you have a Chabur of Kahanim here, simple solution. Let them eat both Kabbalahs, as though they're a Pesach. Within the time frame of Pesach, and the same method as you eat a Pesach. Rabbanan disagree, because you're shortening the Zman Achila of the Bukhar. Rather, says the Gemara, you let them both get a mum, you take some money, and you transfer the Kedusha of the Pesach on that money, and repurchase the Pesach. The two remaining animals, which have now a mum, are treated, misafek, as a Bukhar, they're eaten, as though they would be a Bukhar Baal Mum. Continues the Mishnah. Chabur Shavad Pischa. We have a group of owners of a Karban Pesach whose Pesach went missing. V'amar le'echad, and they instructed this fellow, Tseyu Bakish, go look for our Pesach. U'shchoit aleinu, they sent out a search party, go find it and shecht it on our behalf. So he's now a shliach for them. They committed, in effect, to join that Karban. Wherever you find it, do the shechita on our behalf. This diligent fellow went out, he looked for it, yogato matzasa tamen, he found it, and he did the shechita for himself and for this group. They ran out of patience. While this was happening, they turned around, they took another carbon, and they did the shechita. So what do you do? Depends what was first. If his was first, his was at 10 o'clock, theirs was at 12. He eats his own, and they join him. Mishalai, they join him because they've already reserved with him. They told him, clear cut, look, you do the Pesach for us. So if his shechita preceded theirs, they've already joined his carbon. And theirs will get burnt. It's not a kosher carbon. You can't have a membership in two carbonis. So that's if he went first. If it happens that they go first, they were at 10, he was only at 12 o'clock, which in effect cancels their reservation. It's as though they turned around, they backed out on him, because they did the wrong thing. So since they were first, they in effect backed out. They eat theirs. And he sticks with his, because he never reserved with them. It's the opposite, they reserved with him. So although they turned around and they backed off, they did their own thing, that's as far as they're concerned. But this fellow remains committed to his Pesach. He eats his, and they eat theirs. That's why we don't know which one was first. Or they both did it simultaneously. So he certainly is free to eat his carbon Pesach, because he didn't commit to them. He takes his, and he eats it. But they can't join him, because perhaps theirs preceded his, in which case they've backed off from his. They've detached themselves from his carbon, so they can't join him. On the other hand, they don't know which one was first. But it's a suffix. So they're neither here nor there. Theirs gets burnt. Because we don't know which one was first, but really, they were Yotze. How are they Yotze? Whichever one of these two was first, that's their karm. So they have a karm, but they can't eat it. As we know, the eating of the karm Pesach is not me'akv. Achil is le'makv. So in this first case, they lost their karm, sent out a search team, and they told this fellow, look, find it and do it for us. So they reserved with him. They committed themselves to that karm. But then they turned around and did their own thing. It depends what was first. If his went first, they're committed to him. If theirs were first, then they have disengaged from him and acquired their own Pesach. They eat their own, and he sticks with his. If we don't know, then we have a problem on our hands. He's safe because he has his. As far as they're concerned, they were Yotze Mimono Shach. Whichever one was first is applied to them. But since they don't know which one was first, they can't actually eat. But the potter from Pesach Sheni. continues the Mishnah. Omar lehen. Suppose we have a case in the reverse. He turned to them and he said, he's going to look for their carbon. He said, look, if things get delayed, I come back too late. You see, I'm delaying. Please go out and take another carbon and include me in that carbon. So in this case, he committed to them. He reserved with them. But he went out and he found their carbon. He did shechita. Vehein loch v'shachtu. And they ran out of time. They took their own carbon. They did shechita. So it's the same halacha as in the Reisha, but the other way around. Im shelahen shechat rishon, if theirs went first, hein oichel mishelahen, they ate theirs. V'hu oichel in one, and he joins them because he had already reserved with them. Im shelahen shechat rishon, if his went first, v'hu oichel mishelahi. Then in effect, although he committed to be with them, but he backed off, he disengaged by the very fact that he did shechita on his own. So since his went first, he eats his. But they stick with theirs because they never reserved with him. Suppose we don't know which one was first. Or the both took place at the same time. They stick to theirs. Why? Because they never reserved with him. They never told him to shechita for them. Therefore, they stick to theirs. But he can't join them because he doesn't know which Pesach he's joining. Was his shechita first, in which case he has his own? Or was theirs first, in which case he's part of their group? Therefore he can't eat, nor here nor there. V'shelo yeitz beis ha'shreifa, his carbon gets burnt. U'pata, malasas Pesach sheni, but he's part of Pesach sheni. Because once again, something he has, one of these two was first, in which case that one was applied to him. But since he practically doesn't know which one it is, he can't actually eat, but he's part of Pesach Sheni. In the third case, we have Amar Lehen, Vamar Lai. They both committed to each other. Prior to sending him out, they said, look, if you find that lost carbon, do the shechita for us. We're joining you. But he turned around to them as well, and he said, look, if I delay, do the shechita for me. So they both reserved with each other. He found, and he shechted. They turned around and took another animal and they shechted. What happens now? They'll all eat the first carbon because they committed to the first carbon. So if he did the shechita first, they're included in his. If they did first, he's included in them. Suppose we don't know which one was first. They both get burnt, but they were both mekayim the mitzvah. Whichever one was first, Hashem knows which one it was. That one is applied to both, to the individual and the group. Lo yomerlein v'lo yomerlein. We have a fourth case. Nobody reserved with each other. Nobody committed to each other. He didn't tell them to do shechita for him. They didn't tell him. So he went out and found the carbon, did the shechita. They turned around, did shechita. Ein achroin zeh lazeh. They're not responsible for each other. Which means to say, in effect, he uses his carbon and they eat from theirs, regardless of which one was first, which one was second. So in summary, we have a lost carbon Pesach with a third search party. We have four cases. If they committed to his carbon, go and do the shechita for us. If his was first, they join him. If he committed to them and theirs was first, he joins them. If they both committed to each other, then they both join the first one. If nobody committed to each other, then each one does his own thing. They all go their separate ways. Continues the Mishnah. Suppose we have two chaburis, each one had their own Pesach. Problem was that the Pesachim got mixed up. We don't know which one belongs to whom. Now, as Rashi explains, why can't we just do a simple thing? Let them all back away from their carbon, wherever that carbon is, and reacquire one of these two carbonis, says Rashi, because you cannot leave the Pesach at any given moment without an owner. A Pesach without an owner is possible. So you must come up with a solution, a creative solution to this dilemma. On the one hand, you want to realign the owners with their carbon. At the same time, you want to have the Pesach retain one of its owners. It can never be ownerless at any point in time. So how do you proceed? Says the Mishnah, you go like this. Elu Moishchana and Echad. This group takes hold of one of the animals, one of the korbanos. They don't know if it's theirs or belongs to the other group. They take one of the two. Ve'elu Moishchana and Echad, and the other group takes hold of one of the korbanos. And they proceed as follows. Echad me'elu bula itzel elu. A member of this group will now join the other group. Ve'echad me'elu bula itzel elu. A member of the second group will now join the first group. So they swap a member amongst themselves. Now we have two groups. In each group, we have mostly veterans and one newcomer. V'kachim ayim. And this is what they tell. The veterans in the group turn to the newcomer. They say like this. We don't know who's the rightful owner of this carbon. Im shalanu hua pesach hazeh. If this carbon really belongs to us, then join us. You're invited to join us. Yodecha meshuchas mishalcha. Right now you're going to back off, disengage from yours, which is sitting on the other side of the room. V'nemneisal shalana, you're joining us. V'im shalcha hua pesach hazeh. But if this Pesach so happens to be yours, because we took the wrong one, it belonged to the other group from which you have just arrived. Right now we're backing away from ours. And we're joining you and your carbon. So either way, this group, the veterans and the guests, are now rightful owners of this carbon. Now, keep in mind, even when they backed away from theirs, they said, well, if this is yours, we're backing away from ours. We're pulling off from our carbon. We're going to join yours. At that moment, the Pesach was not left ownerless without a Bailam. Why? Let's keep in mind, there's somebody missing from this group. He went over to the other group, and he is still holding on to the carbon. They backed away from their carbon and joined his. But the member of their group, which had gone over to the other side of the room, at the current moment is still going to be the owner of that carbon. So the carbon was never left without a bailam. This way you sidestepped that concern. So this group will turn to their member, their new member, their guest, and make this condition. If it's ours, you're joining us. If it's yours, we're joining you. And the other group will do the same. This way we now realigned all the chaburis with their karbanis. Every group has its own carbon, which is rightfully theirs. They can proceed and be makrif. Continues the Mishnah. V'chein chamish chaburis shel chamisha chamisha. The same concept would be applied to five chaburis, who each one had their own carbon Pesach, and their karbanis got mixed up. You have five chaburis shel chamisha chamisha, each one consisting of five members. V'shel asar asar, or each one had 10 members. How do they proceed? How do they realign their membership? They go like this. We take one person from each of these five. Let's say we have five groups of people. In each group we have five members. We take one individual from each one of those five groups and form them into a new group. We repeat the process again. We take one person from each of those five groups and form them into a new group. We repeat this process five times until we have five new groups. Each one of these newly formed chaburis will take one of the animals. Now, since in this new group we have all those five former groups represented, then you are certain that this behemoth is owned by one of those five people. It belonged to one of those five groups, which all represented in this new group. Right, this new group consists of one member from each of those former five groups. So now each one of these new groups will grab a behemoth. And they follow the same formula we mentioned earlier. They all turn to him and they say, look, if this is yours, we're joining you. If this is ours, you're joining us. They repeat this process. Each group repeats it five times. And all the groups do likewise. This way, we know with certainty that they realign their membership. This new group is now considered the rightful owner. All the members in this group are now rightful owners of this Karm Pesach, and they can have it. Proceeds the Mishnah. Shnaim shenis'ar v'pischein. You have two individuals. Sole owners of their carbon. Reuben owned the carbon. Shimon owned the carbon. And their Pesachim got mixed up. Now we have a problem. Because Reuben can't just back away from his and join the other one, because he's going to leave his carbon without an owner. Right? That was an essential part of this process, to create a situation where there is going to be an owner at all times. That can only be accomplished by having a group, in which case when one leaves, the other one is still the owner. So what do we do? How do we create a group? Reuven takes hold of one of the karbanis, and Shimon takes hold of another karban. Reuven will find a fellow out in the street and invite him to join him as a member in his karban Pesach. So now we have a group. And Shimon does the same. He finds another fellow to join him in his karban. Now we have two groups, each one consisting of two people. So now we can proceed with the process. We have two groups. Reuven and the newcomer, Shimon and the newcomer. We take one of this group, send them over to the other group. And one member of the other group comes to the first group. So they swap one of their members. And they proceed as we discussed. Reuven will tell the newcomer that arrived from Shimon's group, look, if this is yours, I'm joining you. If this behemoth is mine, join me. And Shimon does the same on his side of the room. Im shalihu pesach zeh, if it's really mine, yodecha meshuchas meshalcha, your leaving go is yours, then neisal shali, and you're joining me. You're joining my karban pesach. Now, even if he's going to let go of his karban, there's still somebody else that's an owner. Therefore, this process works. Vim shalchahu pesach zeh, if this pesach is really yours, because I chose the wrong one initially, I chose Shimon, Shimon's karban, and you are really a member of Shimon's karban, you came over from Shimon. If it's yours, Yodai Meshuches Meshali, I'm backing off from my carbon, and I'm joining yours. So now we have two groups, each one consisting of two members, and they're right now the rightful owners of their carbon Pesach. So in conclusion, we have three cases in the Mishnah, two groups who mixed up their Pesachim, five groups, or two individuals. Tanu Rabban, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. A Chabur lost its Pesach, they sent out a scout, they told him, do the Shechita for us. He turned to them, do the shechita for me. Omar lehen, he told them, v'amar loy, and they told him, oichel min harishein, they all have to take part in the first Karban Pesach. And the other one goes l'sreifa, because they committed to each other. What about in a case where nobody spoke anything? Voy omar lehen, he didn't tell them anything. V'loy amar loy, they didn't reserve with him. Eina nachrein zelazah, they're not accountable for each other. Each one takes part in his Karban Pesach. There's no confusion, there's no burning. From here the Chacham concluded, for Chacham, shtika is preferred. We see the fact that they remained silent. It actually benefited them. It avoided confusion. Certainly for foolish people, shtika is recommended. A foolish man remains silent and leaves his foolishness unexpressed. Chacham Yechashev will be regarded as a wise man. So shtika is a good thing. Let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. If one is mafresh a Pesach, which is not roi for Pesach, it becomes nitche and cannot even be used directly for a shlamim. If one is mafresh a Pesach and passes away, if his son is a member, can use it as a Pesach. Otherwise, as a shlamim, the Gemara gives us several ways to understand this halacha. A Pesach that got mixed up with other karbanis, we have to do pidyon the way the Mishnah describes. A Pesach goes missing and a search party was sent out. It all depends how they instructed each other. If Pesachim of two chaburs get mixed up, they have to realign their membership the way the Mishnah describes, and shtika is certainly a recommended trait. Be well and hatzlacha rabba.